All right. We're going to start with a prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for letting us be able to come here and drawing us to you. I pray that tonight you would open our hearts and change us and let us see you in a new way. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Do you guys remember what series we're going through right now? Yes, we're going through the model, which do you remember kind of what the point or the idea of behind that name is, the name of the series, the model? All right, what do you use models for? They do look nice. What else? Other than just looking nice, what do we use models for? Yes, we, okay, so let's say, like I think you said, Dillian, we use them to, like, make houses, let's say. So you use blueprints, which would be like a model. And, you know, you follow the directions, and at the end you have a house. And if you have the wrong directions, you're not going to get the house you expected. You're going to get something else. So the idea being that in life, and especially how we're applying it is, well, I guess we're just applying it to life in general, but, okay, let me explain what I said about that. We're applying this to, like, church. What should the church look like? What's the model in the Bible that God gives us for church? And then also, last week we looked at what's the model that God gives us for a man. Today we're going to look at what's the model for a woman. And next week we're going to look at, which would be the last week of the model series, we're going to look at what is kind of the model for a follower of Christ. So it does... You know, it applies to church is how we're applying it, but also we're kind of applying it just to life in general because each of us are going to grow up to be a man or a woman, or we are currently, you know. So it applies to basically everybody, and whether you believe in God or not, well, yeah, basically it does. So to begin with, we're going to look at kind of a distorted model and the model that our culture has. For a woman, and then we're going to look at what is God's model and what's God's model. And we're going to read several verses and we're going to go through that, quite a few actually, and then that'll be about it. So anyway, okay, so last week we talked about a man, a model for a man, and so this week, and we talked about, you know, well, anyway, this week, if you are a man, you're thinking, how does this really apply to me? Well, why do I need to listen to this? Well, you might be thinking that. Chances are you might be. And the reason, just a second. And the reason you might want to is because eventually you're probably, if you're a male, you're probably going to grow up, and you're probably going to, well, either you have grown up or you will be growing up. And you're probably going to get married, and you're probably going to marry a woman. And so one way this applies to a man, what you might be thinking is, this kind of gives you a picture of, let's say you're married. It would give you a picture of maybe what your current wife is and what your future wife might maybe, and what the plan, like the model God had for your wife to be eventually. And along with that, part of like what we talked about last week of being the man is you have a responsibility to be leading your wife and guiding your wife to be the wife that God created her to be. So that is kind of how it applies to men. But anyway, so to begin with, like kind of the distorted model that our world has, it seems like women are, they take the lead for everything. And we'll talk later how, you know, it's, women are to lead, you know, in instances too, but this kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, where men tend to not take the lead for things. They tend to not take responsibility. So the result is that women see that, and they take the responsibility for things that men should be taking the responsibility for. So it kind of, the roles kind of get reversed, whoops, and the main reason for that being that men aren't taking the responsibility they should take. But anyway, it's about women tonight, so we'll not talk about that too much. And then also, if you look like in Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, and Eve ate the fruit, and then God comes and talks to them and says, you know, why did you do this? Well, it was because, you know, Satan came and tempted Eve to take the fruit. He talks to the man. He says, he talks to him like he's responsible for it. And we see there kind of a beginning, it beginning there where man wasn't taking his responsibility, so woman took in, stepped in and was taking responsibility. And not that women are inadequate to do that. That's not my point at all. My point is just that it's not the roles that God made for each of them. They're kind of switched in our culture. And sorry, that was kind of loud and rude. And this kind of, honestly, I think it kind of makes women feel sometimes bitter and defensive and feel like they have to prove themselves as being able to take the roles, because number one, men don't take the roles, and then men, a lot of times, this is weird, but men get defensive, or not defensive, yeah, maybe defensive, but they complain about women taking the roles that women take, even though the men aren't taking them. So women become defensive and feel like they have to prove to the world, basically, that they can take the roles. And also, this one, another way is women are treated as objects a lot, and it kind of, you guys probably know that, but it's really sad, and it's not really, I don't really know if it's, well, that's just how it is. A lot of times they're kind of minimized, and they're objectified, and that's, in my opinion, I don't think that's the way God created women to be treated, is as objects, and I think you guys would probably agree with that one. So anyway. And the reason these things are bad is because God, each of these ways kind of minimize women in some way. Whether, because if a woman is taking a role that a man should be taking, then probably a woman is not doing a role that God created for them. So they are kind of being left out in that sense, even though it seemed like they're taking more of a role, they're actually kind of in a way being left out. And if they're, you know, being objectified or minimized because they have to prove themselves in different ways, that also minimizes them. And that really goes against and contrary to what you see in the Bible, because God, if you look through the Bible, it's really clear that God, women are extremely valuable to God. Like the early church and Jesus, they treated women a lot differently than their current culture. In their culture, women were kind of, they weren't respected that much, but in the church, they were greatly respected, and Jesus respected women. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus, you know, he was a son of, he was God, and he came to earth, and the way he came to earth was through a woman. And in my mind, I think that shows that he gives a lot of respect and values women very highly. Because, I mean, he was God, he could have just, you know, poof, been here. But instead, he came through a woman. So, like, a woman was the first person that actually knew Jesus. I don't know if you ever thought about it like that, and I hadn't really until recently, but a woman was the first person that ever met Jesus. And point being, women are very, very valuable. Okay, so the big idea for tonight, so that's kind of how, sums up in some ways how women, I think, are sometimes the model that women that the culture has for women that is a little messed up. But anyway, the big idea for today is that just a second. That God created women to reflect and to reflect his glory and to give him glory. It's actually the same reason he created man, but I'm going to look at, you know, it's it's the same reason God created man as well, but the way that men and women do it are a little bit different. It's obviously, man, okay, it's really obvious that men and women are different. And along with that, I think men and women are also equal. They just have a lot, they're very different roles in life. And they're just different. So anyway, if we look at a verse in Genesis 2:18, at the very beginning of the Bible, after God created the people and everything. Just a second, I'll get there. This guy talking, he says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So if you go back to the very beginning, God was saying he had made Adam, and then he says, you know what, it's not good for Adam to be alone. He created woman, he created Eve to be a helper for him. So even at the very beginning, you do this kind of the part of the model is that women are kind of a helper to men, and not in I don't mean that in a way to belittle women, because they are definitely equal, but they're different. And what we talked about last week, men have the role of headship, and their job and responsibility is to lead. And so that's kind of I don't know, part of the way those two things fit together. So, yes. That's okay then. I'll just read it. I don't know. I guess Phil just forgot that part, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, it's created this way to glorify God. I'm going to go to a verse in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7. And I'll read it and we'll talk about it. It says, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and I made. So this is like God speaking through one of his prophets. And at the end, he basically says, I created all these people for my glory, and he created them for my name so that other people would know me as well. So that's why ultimately we're all here. That's why women are here, and that's why women are here, is to give glory to God. So like I was saying, men and women do that a little bit differently. One being that we reflect his glory. And so the verse we read last week back in Genesis, but it's kind of gives us the idea that, okay, well, one part is that we reflect God's glory, and how we do that is, we're made to look like him. We're made in his image. In verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. So there's kind of two worlders, kind of two big ways we glorify God. One is we reflect his image, we reflect him, and reflect glory to him. And part of that is, we're just made in his image. And then, so there's that. And so I guess again, the question is, how do women, since we're talking about women, how do women and how are they supposed to reflect God's glory to him? And there's, there's like three main ways, and then there's some subparts of each one of those. But there's like three main ways. The first one is by submitting to her husband, which I know, initially, it sounds like that doesn't really make sense, but we'll go through it, and hopefully at the end of it, it'll make sense. So there's two verses I'm going to read that talk about it. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's 2 Peter. I'm sorry, it's 1 Peter chapter 3. Says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So the very beginning, it says, wives, in the same way. And when he says in the same way, what he's talking about is, like right before that, he was talking about how Jesus submitted to God. And he, it kind of goes through and talks about it a little bit, but basically the idea that Jesus died on a cross, not because he wanted to, because it was God's will. And he submitted himself to God and gave up himself for us. So in the same way, women are supposed to submit to their husbands in the same way that Jesus submitted to God. And then later on it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate to as you live with your wife. So he kind of goes through, and then actually he talks about those two things. So both parts are supposed to kind of submit to husbands are supposed to submit to their wives, or I'm sorry, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, and husbands are supposed to be considerate to their wives and lead them in a compassionate way. Both of them are supposed to do it in a way that kind of mimics how Jesus submitted to God. There's different aspects about that that apply to each of them. But so that's part of the idea. And then in Ephesians 5, I'll read a verse from there. It's 5:22-24 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Okay, so initially, does that make sense that through wives submitting to their husbands, that glorifies God? Just be honest, does it? Like submitting? Okay, so the way when Jesus submitted to God and, okay, Jesus, I'm going to use an example of Jesus. Wait, what?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Is it like, women kind of just like let, they like submit, they would give up, not give up, but, they just let the husband lead.
Yeah, that's kind of part of it. That's, it's basically letting the husband lead and being willing to follow the husband's leadership. So if you think about like Jesus, he was, when he was in the garden, the night before he died, he was praying to God and he was talking to him. And he says, you know, basically what he says is, I don't really want to, first of all, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew, you know, the next day, he was going to die on a cross and he was going to be beaten and it was going to be horrible. And he knew that, and he was talking to God, and he says, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I know it's your plan, and if possible, let this pass from me, meaning don't make this happen to me, but if it's your will, I'll do it. And it was obviously, you know, God's will that it would happen, so it did. So that was in a kind of example of Jesus submitting to God. Basically, he submitted his will. He said he gave up his will, I guess, to follow God's leadership. Does that kind of answer your question? Is that good? Okay. Cool. Okay, so those two verses that we read said basically, wives, you know, submit to your husbands. Like honestly, does that seem like a way to glorify God? Okay. Initially, I agree. It doesn't really make sense. It's like, yeah, you know. Okay, but, okay. So, have you guys heard of the Trinity? The idea of the Trinity? So, you have the Father, meaning God, and the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you guys heard that. Okay. It's called three in one. So, it's like they're all connected. But they're almost at the same time. It's like there's three separate things. So there's the Father. It's like he's kind of in control. He leads. He's God. And then, well, they're all God though. And honestly, I don't know if anyone has it figured out completely. I don't know if it's really possible. And I surely don't either. So you have God, and you have His Son, and you. You know, God sent His Son to earth to us to die for us. And then after Jesus went back to earth, he was going to send his Spirit. So it's like God is in charge, kind of. Well, I mean, not kind of. He is in charge. And He is kind of directing each of these other parts in their roles. And through these things, God is glorified. And they're all glorified together because of the way that God leads. So in the same way, so that's how God is, and if we are, as humans, are supposed to glorify God and reflect His image back to Him, part of how we do that is by women, part of the way women do that is by submitting to the husband, because it kind of mirrors what happens between God and his Son and his Spirit. So God says he sends his Spirit to us, and the Spirit goes. It's like God's in control, and he sends, not in control, he leads and he guides, and the Spirit submits to what he says, and he does that. And that's kind of how, that's one of the ways that women glorify God, is by kind of following the example of Jesus and of his Spirit, of God's Spirit, in the way that they submit to the Father. It's okay. Okay, so that's kind of the first part. Then the second one is by living as part of the body of Christ. We kind of talked about the body of Christ, and when we talked about the model for the church, this idea that the church is we should mimic God's, Jesus' body. He's the head, and we are like the rest of a body. So I'm going to read some verses here that talk about them. The first one is in Galatians 3:26. Just a second. I'll just read it first. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This idea that we are all in Christ, we're all kind of the same. We're all in the same level before Christ. You know, whether we're male or female or anything else that normally would separate people, in Christ, it doesn't matter anymore. We're all kind of the same before him. So that's one part of it. Women, like, we're all the same before Christ. And the next verse I'm going to read, it's 12 verses long. Well, it's 12 verses in a row, but it's an example of, it's at the end of Romans, which is a book that Paul wrote to a church in Rome. And at the end of it, he's saying basically to say hello to these certain people that he knew. And it's interesting because most of them are, not most of them, a lot of them are women. And it talks about how they were working in the church and they worked hard with, you know, for God. This idea, basically the point is women, I think, should also have a vital role in the church and working for God. And this is partly why. It says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. And greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." And it says, "Greet also the church that meets in their house." So it was, you know, Priscilla and Aquila it was a husband and wife, and apparently they had a church that met in their house, and they had worked, you know, very hard for Christ. And obviously one of them was a husband, one was a wife, so there was a man and a woman, they were both working for Christ. It says, "Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you." Again, a woman who he says worked very hard for Christ. "Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Starkus. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Astubulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord." And then he goes on, he says to greet, you know, a few other people. Basically, these are part of the church there. And it's pretty clear a lot of them were women, and a lot of them working were working in the church. So the idea that, I think you guys get what I'm saying, but it's not just men who should be working the Lord. Everyone should be working for Christ. And then a verse in Acts 2. So this is all kind of under the idea that part of how, and this applies to men also, part of how women glorify God is by living as part of his body, and by, you know, working in his house, in his church and glorifying him. There's a verse in Acts 2:17, and it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So that we are all filled with God's spirit. He said he's going to pour out his spirit on all of us. And, you know, his young men and young women will prophesy. And you know, women are just as full of spirit as anyone else. And then in 1 Timothy 3, there's a verse about kind of a way that women, well, okay, it's a verse I think we read, actually we didn't read this verse, we read verses before and right after this. We were talking about the church, meaning like the elders, the role of elders that they should have. And anyway, in verse chapter 3, verse 11, it says, in the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. So it's kind of this part where women are leading as well, that men have the role of headship, and they should be like the leaders of the church, but their wives are honestly equally important almost, because part of what qualifies a man to lead in the church is his wife being, like it says here, being somebody that's worthy of respect, somebody who's following Christ with her life, and you can see that in her life. And then there's three verses about how women are to teach and to prophesy in the church. Two of them are in Acts, and then one in 1 Corinthians. First one is chapter 18. So it's talking about this guy named Apollos who came to this, he came to the town, this town, and he says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, which was like their church building, or their church for the Jews. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So again, Priscilla and Aquila were a husband and wife that I mentioned in Romans when Paul was saying, greet these different people. And he's saying, in here he's saying, you know, this husband and wife both came, both, you know, took this man in their home, and they taught him more accurately, you know, things about God. Because apparently he knew about God but didn't know everything, I guess. So they taught him more. And then in Acts 21, it says, leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed in the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And that's kind of all it says about that. But anyway, this idea that it wasn't weird back then that there were, that this man of God had four daughters and they prophesied. They were, you know, actively, God was actively working through them. And one more in 1 Corinthians. So the point of this hopefully is that you kind of, you see some of the different roles that women should have in, as they live out in God's body. And so this verse says, every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Is as though, just as though her head were shaved. And in the context, it's talking about basically how to go about worshiping God and different things. But the point being that it wasn't weird for women to pray and prophesy. He says, you know, when women do it, he has some instruction about it, but but obviously women are praying and prophesying in the church. So I think, like we talked about last week, there's the role for men is headship, and they should be leading. But women are just as important. Their roles are a little bit different, but they're very important as well. Okay, and the last one of the three main parts that we glorify God is through cultivating things and growing things. If you think about like a farmer, for example, they are really good at making things grow, right? They, you know, whether it's like animals, like livestock or plants, farmers just know how to make things grow. And women, I think, are in a lot of ways are really similar to that. It's just kind of the way God has wired women, is they are really good at making things grow. And a different, like, yes, they could grow plants as well, but more in the sense of like helping people grow, and helping people develop. So that's kind of the context I'm meaning. But anyway, so in Proverbs 31, it's in the Proverbs, there's a section about women. And it's supposed to kind of set a example, I guess, for what like a perfect wife would be, basically. Anyway, it says, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers the field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is worthy to be praised. Give her her reward she has earned, and let her works be praised at the city gate. So throughout this whole section, it kind of talks about ways that she is producing things. So it says that. I think, I don't really know how to sum that up, to be honest. I'm kind of lacking the words right now. But, I think he's neither. Like, okay, just okay. Out of curiosity, what makes you ask that? Like, what verse? Like, what? Was it based on that verse or just all of them? I think it's kind of neither. I think God realizes that, like, women and men are just really different, and they're both, because we think about without men or without women, humanity is going to die, right? We can't function without the other. So they're both equally important. They're both extremely important. And they're also, so they're both necessary and important, but they're also just very different. So I would say he's neither. He's not really, I think y'all just realizes that like he made both of them, and he made both of them with the intent to glorify him. I think we see, you know, we aren't God. And so when we think about like men or women or life in general, we think about how it applies to us and how it makes us happy. But when we do that, we get things a little bit mixed up, because the reason we're here is to glorify God. And if we think about it in those terms, I think it makes more sense, because then we see women aren't like less than men or more than men. They're just different, and they glorify, they're either way, the purpose of both of them is to glorify God. And they do that in different ways just because they're different. But I don't think one is any more important or less important than the other. Does that help? So, but I'm not God, but I think that's kind of, so yeah, I'm not God, so I don't really know for sure. But I think that's what, based on like, I don't know. I think that's kind of how God sees it, is there's not one that's more important or less important. Like, you think about like Jesus and God, they're part of the Trinity. Which one's more important? Well, they're both really important, but they're just really different too. And it doesn't take away from either one of them. They're just really different. Yeah, I think so. There's one other verse in Titus, but I'm not sure if I'm going to read it, because we've kind of read a lot so far. I think I will. Says, likewise, teach older women. Well, yeah, so this is a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, and he was kind of giving him instruction of how to teach other people. And he says, likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So again, kind of this idea that part of what women are kind of wired for is to, here he's saying, like, teach older women. Part of what he said is to teach them to teach younger women, to then teach their children, and to train them, and to love their children. And I think that kind of shows that women are naturally wired to, like, want to help things grow, as in other people, want to help other people, and to teach them. And I think through that, God is glorified, because that's, you know, what he made them for. He made humans in that way. So that's about it. So I guess for your next step, I don't know, I think it's going to be different for everyone, but if you're a woman, where, I guess, look at your life and ask God, you know, where is my life not, where is it not following, you know, the way you made me to live? I really think if you ask God, he will show you. And he says his spirit is in us, and he speaks to us and leads us. And so I think that's something that, you know, that's one way that he leads us, is showing us, you know, how we can become more like him and live in the way that he created us to live. And then if you're a man, how are you? If you're a man and you're married, I guess, what are you, how are you helping your wife grow? How are you leading her, helping her grow into the woman that God created her to be? And that's about it. So we'll pray now, and then we can go back and have communion if it's still up. And Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for dying for us and letting us have a life in you. And so in your name we pray. Amen.